This podcast is sponsored by Interfilm, an education charity that puts film at the heart of children and young people's educational, cultural, and personal development. Interfilm Plus is the UK's first free streaming platform dedicated to film and designed for all school settings. Developed with and for schools, Interfilm Plus brings learning to life, providing curriculum-linked films and resources that support learning outcomes for pupils aged 5 to 19. Sign up today at interfilm.org/plus. Interfilm Plus was created in partnership with Filmbank Media. Screenings of Filmbank Media's films for an entertainment or extracurricular purpose require a public video screening license from Filmbank Media. State-funded schools in England are covered by the PVSL.
Hello and welcome to this TES podcast exploring how to harness the power of film in a school setting and why it can be such an effective educational resource. Joining me today is Michael Daly, English and Media teacher at John Paul Academy in Glasgow, and Sharon Walker, Primary 1 teacher at Drennan Court Primary School in Armagh, Northern Ireland. Thank you both for joining me today. Now, my strongest memory of film at school was having the TV wheeled in on a trolley to watch a movie. What was your exposure to film when you were at school, and how is it different today?
I think we can all relate to that in one way or another, and we can all remember the television on wheels coming into the classroom. But I think back then it was mostly for BBC educational programmes that we were watching and not so much films as such. But I do remember, and a very fond memory of the caretaker in our primary school putting out the chairs in the assembly hall. We knew there was a treat ahead, and the principal getting the projector and the old time relight. So I can really remember that, and that sticks in my mind as a childhood memory, and I, you know, really, really enjoyed it. So today, I suppose, we're really into the DVDs and all the new technology of watching films and going to the cinema.
Yeah, I can't really remember film playing that big a role in my education. There was obviously the joy when you would see it wheeled in or it was already in the room. But it was mostly maybe things about whatever topic we were studying. That was my recollection of it, but I don't think that it was really as ingrained in the school as it is now, and I don't think it was utilised as much as we certainly lean on it now.
And so how does it differ today?
Well, I think really, you know, film today, when it's used to its full potential, is very important in the learning and developmental role in our children's lives. You know, it opens up a wealth of opportunities and encompasses many areas of the curriculum. And personally, I teach in a small infant school, not even a full primary school, it's just P1, 2 and 3, and 99% of our children have English as a second language, and we have found that film has been very instrumental in helping to develop their spoken language, their literacy skills, numeracy and their social skills.
Yeah, I think for us, if we're thinking about how it's changed, it's such a vital tool as we are trying to kind of close the attainment gap and really promote literacy. It tends to be my go-to, especially if I want to provide context so children know what the topic is about. I just think if they've got that film as the kind of anchor that really holds the learning in place, and it's this constant reference point that we can go back to, then I just think it really helps literacy development, and it gets the imagination going and really gets their ideas flowing. So yeah, I think that's how it's changed. It's more of an educational resource instead of a treat.
So for both of you, it is much more than that end-of-term treat or carrot off the stick when you've been ploughing through a text. Why do you think that it is such an effective educational resource in the classroom now?
I think it's because children are engaging with it on such a personal level. I think film is such a personal choice, and I think that whenever you talk to kids about film, like, you're talking to them as like lovers of film and film fans. And it just creates this connection that perhaps other texts don't get. I think they very much think books belong to the teacher, whereas film's something that they really, really enjoy, and it's just two film fans having a conversation, and it creates this common ground. So if education's all about relationships, then what better way to bond than over your love of films?
So it's been a bit of a leveler for you?
I think so. I think it just creates common ground, and you're both coming at it from the same place because you have the same opinions about films, and you're able to justify why you like a film. And I think, yeah, it just gives the kids an insight into you as a person based on your choice in films.
You know, we would consider film to be very universal, especially in our situation where we do have so many children who are just learning the English language. So we've tried, you know, a lot of different routes with our movies, and even have introduced black and white slapstick movies, Laurel and Hardy, which they thoroughly enjoyed. And you don't have to be able to speak English to enjoy the humour there, and to be able, you know, to express themselves afterwards. To hear their laughter was, you know, amazing. And, you know, then we had planned activities afterwards, which really, you know, extended that for us. You know, so it's not just sitting down and watching a movie, and it's not just older children can do it either. Even down to the youngest children, our children are only, you know, age 4 to 7, and they're able to appreciate this as well, and we can see how beneficial it is for them.
That's interesting, you're using film as an educational resource for children at such a young age. Can you explain how you're using it?
A lot of our learning is done actually before the children watch the movie. We have a little film club up and running. The children have taken ownership of that themselves. Our P3 children, they're only 7. You know, they set up their film club on a Thursday afternoon, so they're ready to sell tickets on a Friday. We have a registration area. We have a mini bank where they go and get their money to then go and purchase their ticket at the box office. Where then there are two children there who are recording names, discussing what the movie's about. And then we do have special days where we have popcorn, where the children are involved in making popcorn and selling it. So it's so exciting for them.
So it's like a kind of cross-curricular event for them, and you embed it within the curriculum.
Very much so. You know, they're counting money, they're, you know, developing their social skills, and even our older children, you know, when it's popcorn day, so they'll know to get extra money at the bank. And then maybe they'll get a 50p, go to the box office, they'll get change back. So, you know, you can extend it to whatever level that you want. Another thing too, we are an eco school, so they've actually made their own popcorn cones, reusable ones, which, you know, they love doing that as well. So, yeah, it's very cross-curricular.
That's interesting that you've embedded it in so many different areas of the curriculum. That it's not, because typically you just think it's English or drama you'd associate it with, but you're drawing into so many different curriculum areas.
Yeah, that's right. And PDMU, and, you know, we had National Biscuit Day last week. So after they'd watched the Trolls movie, we brought in biscuits for them, and they brought in all their own biscuits from their own countries. But we brought in our biscuits, they decorated them, icing, strawberry laces, you name it. And that was our review that day. Reviews don't always have to be written down, and especially with young children, to be able to express themselves in different ways, you know, it's so good.
So it's a much more creative response.
That's right. Yeah, it doesn't always have to be written reviews. Obviously, it's different with the older children, that they're able to do that independently. With our little ones, a lot of their expression is, we get through our art and design and through cookery and just discussion, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, if we're going at it from like almost interdisciplinary learning, then there's so many subjects that are grounded in film if we just kind of take the time to be a little bit creative in English. So I teach media with Jacqueline Thompson, who's my colleague that I do all the film stuff with, and we developed a unit on The Martian. So we studied Ridley Scott's The Martian, and we set up a scenario where our pupils had to save the astronaut. So they were doing maths formulas, they were doing chemistry, physics, trying to work out the velocity of stuff. And wow. These were learners that would tell you themselves that they're disengaged in those subjects. But because we had, and Jacqueline and myself always use this term, like if we use film as the anchor to hold the learning in place, then they were able to engage with subjects that they would perhaps not usually engage with. But it was all because we used the film and set the scenario. So they really kind of bought into the process, and they were doing little formulas and stuff to really save the astronaut. And it was just about creatively thinking, how can we merge different subjects? And we think it's a really important kind of educational observation there, and there's certainly more room to be done there, and it is quite an exciting prospect to do more there.
Definitely. So do you think it's quite a valuable tool for reaching disengaged and hard-to-reach students?
I think so, because it just, film just creates that sense of enjoyment, you know, and I think once you have that foundation of enjoyment and watching something for pleasure, if we are thinking about up in Scotland raising attainment so linked to enjoyment, if enjoyment's the key to raising attainment, then why not study something that the pupils are going to enjoy? So once you're able to use all of the Interfilm resources and stuff and all of the amazing things that Interfilm does, then you've really got that hook. And then once you've got that hook, then you can start learning on top of that initial hook. So yeah, we're really excited to continue kind of observing what happens in that area.
So it's been a really interesting journey for you so far. How did you actually start using film in your teaching practice?
So when we started working with Interfilm 8 years ago, and originally they were running film clubs they were just launching in Scotland. So Jacqueline and myself were probationary teachers, and you're very encouraged on probation to do something extracurricular so that you can contribute to the life of the school. And we both love film, so we were like, this is the club for us. So we went along to a CPD event that they hosted, and to be honest, we thought it was just going to be press and play on a DVD, and it's just evolved so much over the last couple of years. And we started using film as extracurricular, just as a little after school club for kids that perhaps were into sports and stuff, and kids that were just film, little film buffs. And then it just grew from there, taking advantage of everything that Interfilm offers schools, CPD, the Interfilm Film Festival, where the kids get free cinema tickets. It's just amazing. We've had actor visits. We've had actors from The Hobbit come into the school to do a Q&A session with the kids.
Oh, wow.
And then attending the Interfilm Awards down in London. So it's just about, once you get that buzz and that excitement, like kids will definitely buy in. And it's all about getting that buy-in, and film for me is the hook.
Yeah. We've had a similar experience as well. We've been a part of the Interfilm Club now for 7 years. But at the beginning, we were just, you know, it was just ordering movies, watching them, sending them back, maybe a couple of reviews. And, you know, within the past couple of years or so, we realised, you know, there were so many resources here that we could be utilising, and even just down to the, you know, the resources, simple resource of printing off tickets that we then laminated and had them. Thus, their children have, you know, physical ticket in their hand to go to the film in school. Then they encouraged us then to enter for the Film Club of the Year.
Oh, yeah.
Under 11 category. And again, and bearing in mind, our oldest children are only 7. So, of course, we applied for this, and then actually a phone call was taken in the middle of our Christmas concert to say that we had been nominated as one of the top 3 schools in the UK for Film Club Under 11 category. So we're so excited about this. We couldn't tell anybody, you know, it was sort of secret service. And when we eventually could tell others about it, the children were so excited, and parents. And then right up until the week before we were to go, well then, lockdown came and everything was called off. So, you know, we didn't make it to London, unfortunately.
What a shame.
I know. But they did do a virtual ceremony in the autumn time. And we got to see David Williams on screen. So, and hear him call out our name. We didn't win, but it was the taking part. And, you know, our children were just so excited to have got so far. You know, we're so proud of them.
So John Paul Academy, we were nominated 3 years in a row for Film Club of the Year.
3 years in a row, that's impressive.
Yeah, so 3 years in a row. And it was just the most amazing experience. Like, our kids were turning up at the train station asking if they needed their passports to go to London and stuff.
Oh.
So it was just amazing to take so many of them down. And luckily for Jacqueline and myself, we managed to get everybody back safe. So our careers continued. And we won in the final year, and the kids got presented their award by Eddie Redmayne. So it was just the most amazing experience for them. They got to see people like Daniel Craig. So yeah, it just totally blew their mind. And even as adults, we were utterly starstruck and not very cool about the whole thing. So you can imagine how the kids were seeing it all. And it's just amazing to think that they got that from just extracurricular. And I think that's the excitement that you really, film generates. And Into Film are really tapped into that. It's so inclusive, and it's for everyone. And that's I think, the most special thing about what Into Film have created.
And Into Film, I said before, have been so generous. And you mentioned before, Michael, too, about giving free cinema tickets and go on a wee trip. And, you know, as part of getting Film Club of the Month, we did go to see Peter Rabbit in the local cinema. And 5 of our children had never been to the cinema before. That was their first visit. So it was very, very special for them. And to be able to share that experience with them, you know, it was lovely. Really, really nice.
Do you find that using film in the classroom can be an effective tool for personal development as well as educational? You touched on this a bit before.
Yes, and, you know, we would use, in our school, our theme, obviously, going through the whole school, is theme of kindness and showing kindness. And Into Film have just recently launched a new PDMU resource called The Ultimate Princess Celebration Kindness Quest. And it's been created in partnership with Walt Disney, and helps to deepen children's understanding of what it means to be kind, brave, and to help others. So I've just signed up for this. It's just very new. So I'm hoping to start this with our children. And as well as the activities, they do give examples of movies that will link in with this. For example, Beauty and the Beast, Brave, Moana, all the lovely Disney movies that the children enjoy. But then being able to watch them and bring out this theme of kindness and towards others, I think is very important. So we're really looking forward to getting started into this. I know it's near the end of the term, but it's something then that we can start in September in the new term.
Yeah, for us, it's just about really kind of fostering that sense of community and providing a safe space that the kids can openly discuss film and really learn how to respectfully have a difference of opinion. And that's where the little reviews they write for Into Film on their little Into Film accounts are really good, because it just gives them a space to really talk through film. And just the discussions that the kids have at the little film club about the films that we watch, they're able to confidently say what they like or don't like. And I think that's the whole point of film. It's fulfilled its educational purpose straight away, and that's to generate opinion. And the kids are able to really grow their confidence, especially some of the more vulnerable children that attend Film Club. They're able to really grow that confidence speaking out instead of just sitting quiet and almost passively. Mm. They are able to voice how they feel and how they engage with film on such a personal level. And then we're really able to kind of nurture that through the film club. And then we start to see the benefits of that within the classroom as well.
So do you see that kind of transferring to other subjects? So they have a bit more confidence and self-efficacy in different classes as well?
Yeah, if we're thinking about raising attainment, if, for example, I did Cirque de Freak, the novel, with my class, and they produced good essays, but it was very kind of regimented and structured. And then we followed it up by doing Skyfall. And they weren't really given a plan. They were just given the stills that I would like to feature in that paragraph.
Mm.
The level of analysis that was coming from them was the same stuff that verbally they'd been given film club about other films. So it was having that confidence to say what they were seeing on screen and what it meant to them. So yeah, I was seeing massive benefits through the ability to just kind of nurture that dialogue and that forum for dialogue, and that it's respectful, and as long as you can articulate and back up how you feel and listening to other people. So yeah, there's been massive benefits that have just translated academically from something that is essentially extracurricular.
Has it helped with the socialisation aspect as well? Because you said it's helped them have the confidence to discuss film and have those discussions of confidence in what they're saying and back them up. Has it helped the relationships within the school?
I think so. It's more children quite often are fine with the speaking aspect of it, but it's perhaps when it comes to the listening to others who have a difference of opinion, that's maybe where some more vulnerable children and more able children perhaps have to have that ability to actively listen to their peers and understand that just because they feel something different, that's not necessarily wrong. Mm. So yeah, I think it's socially, it's helped them massively because, again, film's just that hook that opens up the opportunities for all this positive dialogue to happen.
We don't really have that same problem in our school because for our young children, because you know, they just all want to say, you know, they wouldn't really know if somebody was wrong or have a difference of opinion. In fact, our children don't even log on to do their own reviews because they're too tiny. We actually do a group review, and we have a special dice that we throw. And it's got, you know, maybe a wee camera on one side, or it's got like a, you probably know the one I'm talking about, Michael D. And it sort of, it gives the children just a talking point. So when they roll the dice, then if it comes up with the camera bit, then they have to say something related about the film, or then if it's a wee icon of a person, then they have to talk about a character in the film or something like that. And then it's great excitement even just in getting their turn to roll the dice, you know. But our reviews are all done in a group situation like that, so you know, it's all inclusive sort of thing, you know.
Because lots of people think that watching a film is just a passive activity because it's something that we all do in our leisure time to relax. But obviously in the classroom for you, it becomes much more than that. What tips can you give teachers who want to try and break free of that association and make watching a film more interactive so that students don't switch off and go into viewing mode?
I think that where we've achieved the best results is because the children are able to engage with film in school. And if we are really wanting deeper learning and deeper thinking to occur, which is our job as teachers, then the learning has to continue long after they leave the classroom. And if they're going to be immersing themselves in film and binging on Netflix, if they can take this stuff that they've learned in school to do with film, like narrative theory, and they can go away to the cinema or whatever they're watching at home, if they can apply these things to unseen films and unseen texts, then that would mean that they're learning all the time. They're reinforcing the learning all the time. Every time they watch something, they're reinforcing it. And you'll get kids that come in after going to the cinema and they're like, oh, by the way, that narrative theory Todorov guy, I saw a film and this is how it was, and this was the disruption, or this was the inciting incident. So they are coming in and they are speaking to you about it. And they're really? Like, mom and dad say I keep talking all the way through the film because I'm explaining stuff. So that's always happened. They're very keen to show off. They're like little sponges. So if they are engaging for pleasure, then we should really be tapping into that as educators to think, right, okay, let's capitalize on this momentum. If they are learning for fun, then surely that's quite a powerful combination. If we can combine learning and fun, and they're doing it at home in their own time, and they're more than happy to do it if it's film related, like set the homework, like go home and watch something on Netflix and then talk to me about it tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? How cool is that for home?
I bet they love that, don't they?
Yeah. So again, you shouldn't be putting the barriers up, and you shouldn't be trying to celebrate what they do in the class and what they do in their own time for pleasure. Why not? Let's combine them. Let's maybe think outside the box here and combine them instead of fighting it. Like, go with it. There's like an American educator, that Adam Welcome, that says we can't teach Wi-Fi kids with landline strategies. And that always peddles my thinking behind it. So let's work with it and not fight it and just really embrace film, because that's where education's going.
Of course, because film is so ubiquitous in their lives now. They're all kind of making TikTok videos, and they've got all the video sharing platforms that they do have that interest, and it's part of their lives. So exploring it in the classroom sounds like a great way to engage them.
Entry Film also have a little app related to the Gruffalo story. It's just called the Gruffalo app, and it's unique to Entry Film themselves. And it's a lovely starting point for children at the beginning of creating film. They can actually just play around with the characters. They can, you know, read the story as it is and watch the film, or they can add little bits, they can change it, they can put voiceovers on it and record themselves. And, you know, the way we would work it would be to team up in one class. So we would team up a child from my class from a child in the other class, you know, one of the older children, so that they're helping each other. And, you know, it works really, really well.
That's a nice way for them to kind of get creative and have a creative response to something as well.
It is. And, the, you know, they're able, even at that age, to work together and made storyboards and things, and then have used that to create a little movie. We've used a little bit of iMovie with them as well. Of course, they can't use it themselves. So, you know, we would obviously guide them that way and do it for them. But they've got all the ideas, and we just help them along the way, you know. So there's so many opportunities for them.
So despite all of these things that we know about how useful and interesting film can be in the classroom, there is still that perception that it's a bit of a DOS lesson. Why do you think that that is?
People still don't appreciate really how valuable it can be. And, you know, it's getting people educated, you know, getting our peers, our fellow teachers educated to believe in it, basically. Also parents, to get them on board, to say that it's not just an end of treat, an end of day or an end of term treat, that it is a valuable resource. And I think probably, you know, there's still that perception that, you know, you just put on a movie in the afternoon to keep the children quiet so you can get something done, but it's not that.
How did you get parents on board?
Well, you know, in our, with being such a small school, we have contact with parents every day, and especially last year, whenever we were so involved in the award ceremony that we thought we were going to go to, that was a big thing. And parents obviously were all on board for that, because they had such an input to getting the children ready to go, and so exciting. So I think even from that and the profile that we had and all our publicity on our website and on our Twitter account, all those things too helped us. And, you know, parents could see the importance of it, and we really didn't have a bother there at all, to be honest.
I think it's just about encouraging people to just take a moment and just have that leap of faith. We started extracurricular, so we were really, really lucky that all of our senior leadership, head teacher, everybody really bought into what we were trying to do. Mm. And then the minute success starts to come along and it kind of gathers that momentum, it was the most natural progression for us to take it into the classroom. But we're really, really aware that that's not always the case. We were just really lucky and fortunate. And I think the DOS element maybe comes in because we're very focused on assessment. You know, if as an English teacher, if I'm going to spend two periods watching something, then I need something measurable at the end of it to be able to justify it. So sometimes I think the view of assessment can be quite restrictive. I think it's all about, for example, if I'm doing climate change, I could certainly get an essay that's persuasive or discursive, but I could also get the kids to make a little trailer about climate change that's persuasive in nature, that's just, it's utilising different skills. And it's maybe thinking about changing how we view assessment and thinking about film can generate things that are more skills-based outcomes, especially at secondary school. If we are trying to develop the young workforce, if we've got these responsibilities to get kids ready for the world of work, then as long as children are learning and they're developing these skills, then that completely eliminates the DOS element from it. If kids are going to learn about camera shots, then the best way to do that is to go out and do camera shots. or play about with their phones and tap into all these skills that they're developing on TikTok. We did a little thing about Harry Potter, and their kids were doing stop animation, and their editing skills were off the chart because of TikTok, which is normally TikTok's the bane of teachers' lives.
Is it?
It's just about tapping into these things. So when you realise how complex film is, and you can make it as highbrow as you want with your analysis of camera shots and movements and use of colour, you can make it as highbrow as you want. There's just as much in a film as there is a novel. So it's maybe about saying to people and introducing fellow teachers to into film and getting to look at their resources and all the exciting things and getting out there and talking and sharing success stories and have you tried this? And I think it's about finding more time for teachers to get out and talk to each other about film. And it just helps. It just that's in the film education community is amazing if people just get talking and share resources and share ideas. And into film really facilitates that with their networking opportunities.
Yeah, and I think now they have their Into Film Plus streaming service is, you know, you have movies at hand straight away. You don't have to go and order them and wait for them to arrive. You have this streaming service, which is excellent. We've just got new computers installed in the school a few weeks ago and realised these new hard drives came with no facility to play a DVD or a CD. So,
Yes,
we have to get an external drive, which is not a bother, but at the same time, you know, we're so thankful. So it's brilliant. And we watched Paddington 2 last week, actually, and it was lovely because we put it on first and there was actually a little clip from the director, Paul King, just giving a little synopsis to the children first before the movie came on about who he was and just a wee bit about the film. Not very long at all, just a couple of minutes. And, you know, the children were sort of, is that the man actually who made this movie? You know, so, you know, brought it to life. When we're doing our literacy, we talk about the author and the illustrator, but we see their names on the book, but we don't see their pictures sometimes. And to be able to see this person who has made this movie sit and talk to them on the screen, I thought was very innovative of Interfilm to do that. So I thought that was great.
Yeah, that's interesting. It really puts it in context for them. And so it's more about teachers having to know there are ways that you can do it as an educational resource. And I suppose having those curriculum-linked resources really helps that.
Yeah, and after, I mean, if you look at the resources then after you've watched the movie, I mean, there's teacher's guides, there's PowerPoints, and, you know, each slide will be asking the children to do a certain activity related to the movie, and it's all literacy-based. Absolutely fantastic. You don't have to think about it. It's all there for you, just at hand, which is really, really good.
Yeah, I bet that's invaluable, isn't it, if you can just take it and slot it into your lesson.
You know, and you can adapt it to suit your own needs. You know, it's there, the basis is there, but if you need to change a wee bit or, you know, obviously you to connect whatever age group that you're working with, it's easy to do.
And what other challenges and hurdles do you think teachers need to be aware of when they're looking to incorporate film into their teaching?
I think it's just about thinking what works best for you and your kids. And it's some kids might not do particularly well sitting watching a full film. So you might have to plan, are you just going to watch the opening sequence and do a bit of analysis on that and generate your discussion points? And then are you going to layer another bit on top of it? I think you could do a film in a couple of periods, but it can take longer to do a novel. So it's maybe about just structuring how you want to teach it. Do you want to focus on camera, or do you want to talk about lighting? Are you going to chunk it into like the acts and then study it that way? It's about just being flexible and knowing what works for you, your teaching style. And if you do segments, then it's perhaps easier if children are absent and they've maybe missed the full film. So if you're doing segments, it's maybe a better way to do it if you've got kids that just aren't going to be in school for whatever reason. So there's definitely different ways to do it just by thinking about what works for your teaching style.
We definitely have to watch our films over maybe, you know, two sessions or sometimes three, depending on the length of the film. because our little ones can't concentrate for a very long time. So we would recap. They're very good for remembering what number the finished stuff. I say now, you know, let's check where we're pausing it today. So you remember the number for the next time. So they'll remember better than me what number we finished on. You know, so to put it back that, and you know, even with the scene selections and things, they're very good for all the language that they need. And you know, sometimes it can be a bit of a debate as to what film they want to order next or one want to watch. And in fact, this week, to be perfectly honest, we were off midterm there, the bank holiday Monday and Tuesday. So Friday has come very quickly this week. And when I was leaving Spain today, one of the children who would have memory problems normally in the classroom on the way out was able to tell us, we forgot to set up for film club.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's a big thing for him. You know, he remembered that, and I think he was on road tomorrow to maybe do the ticket office or something. So he had remembered that, but other things he couldn't remember. So obviously that has had a big impact for him. We have also linked our film club with the UK Parliament Week, where we changed our box office into a polling booth, and they came and they voted for their favourite movie. And it was so fun, as we explained to them, that it was a secret vote and all the rest had to go in behind the door to vote and put it in a box. It was so exciting, really. And, you know, even if their movie wasn't picked at the end, they respected that and they knew they would get to see it at some stage. But it was a fun way to make choices.
Yeah, that's a really interesting way to teach them all about the voting system.
Yeah, it was very good. It worked very well for us.
And so to finish, what three pieces of advice would you give schools who'd like to harness the power of film in their classroom?
Well, first of all, I would say to sign up to Enter Film, because that's the way to go. They have all the resources there for you at hand, of all the movies that you need, and excellent resource. You need to embrace it. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace the innovative way of teaching through film and give it a go. We're always telling our children, you know, try it out. You not know till you try. Give it a go. And, you know, link your movies into what the children's interests are and your class topics, and then you'll get them engaged straight away. So that would be my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think my pieces of advice would be, the first thing is to just start small. I think if you're really wanting to maintain it and embed it in your practice and in the life of the school, then it's better to start off small and grow. And it's really important to grow at your own pace. And Into Film's amazing at providing you with the CPD and the inspiration to just keep evolving and keep evolving your film club. So don't feel the need to compete with or get to the level that other teachers that use film are at. It took us years and years to get here. And it's just because we've taken advantage of Into Film and getting out and their networking opportunities to really talk to other educators. And I think the most important piece of advice is just to have fun with it. Like, the kids can tell when you're having fun. And that enthusiasm is infectious. And yeah, that would be my three takeaways.
This podcast is sponsored by Into Film, an education charity that puts film at the heart of children and young people's educational, cultural, and personal development. Into Film Plus is the UK's first free streaming platform dedicated to film and designed for all school settings. Developed with and for schools, Into Film Plus brings learning to life, providing curriculum-linked films and resources that support learning outcomes for pupils aged 5 to 19. Sign up today at interfilm.org/plus. Interfilm Plus was created in partnership with Filmbank Media. Screenings of Filmbank Media's films for an entertainment or extracurricular purpose require a public video screening license from Filmbank Media. State-funded schools in England are covered by the PVSL.